Okay, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, this is Keith Bearden, president of Phi Beta Mu International, and we have on the line with us today Mr. Frank Wicks, who is professor emeritus at Louisiana State University, where he was the director of bands. And Mr. Wicks, we're ready to upload your interview to the website for young directors and all directors to listen and gain some insight about you and your career. So let's get started by asking you how you got started in band and anything you want to share about those days.
Well, actually, my music interest started in elementary school because my mother was a great pianist and organist and even jazz pianist. Church, and from fourth grade on, my brothers and I sang in the church choir. So in fifth grade, she started me on piano, but because I was interested in sports also, I didn't stay with piano more than about a year. When I got into the eighth grade, I attended a small high school in South Jersey. New Jersey, and it was right on the Atlantic coast, a little below Atlantic City, and I was a junior, senior high school, 7 through 12. So the band was only about 30 people. It was awful, actually. I guess maybe you should leave that out. But, the, but it was in the eighth grade, I got interested. And I asked one of the girls who was in the band, who played clarinet, if she would help me learn how to finger the clarinet. What did it mean, you know, all these things? And she did. And so I actually started the clarinet in eighth grade, pretty much on my own, not with any help, not with any teaching from the director, who was the director of junior, senior high school, and there was only one. That's how I got started, and I pretty much taught myself. In ninth grade, my parents got me a metal clarinet. That's all they could afford, and I started playing on that a little bit, and then I started getting enough facility that I could go try out for the honor bands in our region of South Jersey. New Jersey was broken into three regions for the Allstate, South Jersey, Central Jersey, North Jersey. And then the Allstate was compiled of the best players from all that. But North Jersey was divided into two, and because there's such population difference up there near New York. And that's how, and then I started to get interested in trying out for those honor bands. So in high school, I did that as well, but I kept singing, and I also made the Allstate Chorus. And in New Jersey, the Allstate Chorus is in the fall, and the Allstate Band is in the spring. So you could do both. And I sang in the Allstate Chorus for 3 years and made the Allstate Band for 3 years, too. But I had to drop out one of those years because I was playing basketball. I was captain of my high school basketball team, and we were getting pretty good in my senior year. And we went on and actually won the state championship in the small classification of high school. So I had to choose then because they were running at the same time in basketball season between the band and the Allstate band and the basketball championships in the postseason. So that's how that went. Only had one director. The only other influential director, as you list here, it was my high school chorus director. And they were very good, caring people. And they let us have lots of opportunities if it came our way. And I was interested in that. So because I had learned how to do all the singing in my mother's church choir, the musical interest was elevated pretty good by the time I got onto the instrument and got to where I could handle that sort of thing. So my parents really couldn't afford private lessons, so we didn't have that happen. I had maybe one lesson from a friend musician of hers on the clarinet when I was about ninth grade on that metal clarinet, and that was it. That was it. So very unlike what you guys in Texas have experienced.
Well, my story's similar, believe it or not. It's similar.
No kidding.
Like all of us around this age have really similar stories. It's interesting. So
yes,
what about college then? What happened when it was time to go to college?
Well, I went to college on a basketball scholarship to the University of Delaware, and I entered in engineering because the University of Delaware is a good engineering school, especially chemical engineering with a DuPont company close by. I went into engineering in my freshman year, and I stayed in it for my whole freshman year. And as I tell everybody where I clinic, calculus cured me of engineering. When I went home at the end of the third quarter in the spring, I didn't have a good grade in calculus. And my father said, what's the meaning of these grades? Because my high school grades had always been good. And I said, Dad, I got to do something I'm interested in. I'm not interested in engineering. I think I want to go into music. And then he said to me, well, your mother's going to be very unhappy because she was a professional musician. And she knew what kind of a life that was. But at any rate, I went back in the fall to the University of Delaware Music Department and auditioned. And the guy knew who I was, but he knew it from basketball. But he also had to put down on a piece of paper somewhere that I had been a musician in high school. So I went there and had 3 years left, and I was able to finish my music ed curriculum, in 3 years because I had gotten all those other core courses out of the way in my freshman year in engineering. And I actually got done everything except one class, which I took in my last semester at Delaware in geography.
I didn't realize you graduated from Delaware.
Yep, that's where I went, that little school. So college education, I had a very good base music education there because the department was very small. There were only six faculty members. And my band director, who was my principal advisor, was also my clarinet instructor, my methods class instructor, my conducting teacher, my supervising teacher in my practicum of student teaching, and also taught me orchestration.
Wow.
So he was, kind of a Renaissance guy. He did everything.
And what was his name? What was his name?
His name was J. Robert King. And he was my main mentor. And I owe a great deal to him because he had me... I had a lot of private instruction with him because we didn't have very many instrumental music majors, only about four or five. And so he was able to give the time, and he kept my nose to the grindstone, which he needed to do. And I thought, looking back on him, I think very highly of what I learned from him. I still go up to Delaware to see his 95-year-old widow. I just came back from that. I go up every May.
Hmm.
And he died in 94. And she's still living. And I contribute pretty strongly to a scholarship fund in his name at the University of Delaware. And they've been good to me up there for doing that.
That's
so
cool.
So I do that, but it was because of all the things that he taught me in my undergraduate years. And from there, I went on out to teach. And I started in 1959. That was my first year to teach. And
What was it like there, like your salary and what level of school did you start in?
Well, I started in the same kind of school I went to, 7 through 12 high school. And I taught there for my first 7 years. 7 through 12. I actually did have two bands by the time I got to my seventh year. But I had, I was an itinerant teacher. I went to two elementary schools as well, teaching one day a week at each of those elementary schools. And then I also conducted the orchestra. After school, for 3 years, I coached junior varsity basketball for my early years of teaching. But the superintendent gave me permission to teach privately if I would go to the homes of the students. Mm-hmm. Allowed me to make a little extra money. And my first year of teaching, I had a salary of $4,300.
That's fun to tell your students, isn't it?
isn't that something?
Yes.
Back then. That was at junior senior high school, just like I went to in Ocean City, New Jersey. And so I had some familiarity with that. I also taught general music class. I conducted the school orchestra, but I did not teach strings. They had a string specialist. But my orchestra was 7 through 12 as well. Mm-hmm. So that was the only time I taught orchestra, was in that first school in Wilmington, Delaware.
So where did you go after that job?
Well, I stayed there 7 years, and I also did my National Guard duty of 6 years. We had to go in the service then, you know.
Right.
And so I joined the Delaware National Guard band right in Wilmington, and I was in it for 6 years, 60 to 66. And when I got out in 66 in January, that turned out to be my last year at that school, which is when I made the decision to go to graduate school, and I had some friends that helped me get into the University of Michigan for my graduate school. And I went out there for a year, a summer, a winter, and a summer, after my seventh year of teaching, and taught there. I was a graduate assistant, taught the clarinet classes to the secondary, music ed people. That was my assistantship. And had Ravelli, went through that whole thing, Lou Ravelli. Oldest guy in the marching band at 29.
But didn't you find you were a much better grad student after you had a teaching experience under your belt?
Oh, boy, is that the truth.
Yes.
I mean, even if I'd only taught 3 or 4 years, I would have felt that. But fortunately, I was a little bit older, which was good for me because he could be rough. He had, there's legendary stories about him,
Right.
As you know. But he was very good to me, and he continued to be good to me after I left Michigan. And he didn't help me get my second high school job in Fairfax County, Virginia, which is where I went after Michigan. But he came and guest conducted my Virginia high school band, and it was pretty good. I went to the Midwest with him. We also went to Europe and played in Vienna International Band Festival. So I had a great experience in my second high school because I had a great many private teachers from the service bands.
Right.
But I did not have an assistant. And I taught 9 through 12 in that high school. And then 2 of the 6 years I was there, I went down to teach elementary school band in the district, similar to what I was doing in Delaware. And got the kids started on the instruments, and that was good. But I didn't do that but 2 of the 6 years. By going to the Midwest and by going to Europe, and we actually won the festival in Europe and came back, and then we had a concert in the Kennedy Center and all that sort of thing, I had the opportunity to interview for college. And I interviewed at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, and then I interviewed at the University of Florida, and the University of Florida offered summer employment,
mm-hmm.
and Ohio University did not, so I took the University of Florida job. It was offered to me, and then I went there, and that's when I started teaching college. So,
how long were you at the UF?
7 years, 1973 to 80. Mm-hmm.
And then from there to LSU.
That's correct. In 80 to 2010.
Wow, what a great career.
So, 51 years.
That's 51 years.
51.
So what, you know, you've seen a lot through the years, positives and negatives and current trends. And so you want to talk about those trends and what you've seen and as far as positive and et cetera?
Well, I think one of the great things that's happened, you know, the wind ensemble movement, of course, with Ravelli, it was a big symphonic band, symphony band, you know that. And that's what I had in my high schools. Even in Florida, that's what I had. But my last couple of years at Florida, I started doing smaller pieces as well because I was interviewing at other schools, and they had my last couple of years at Florida, I was interviewing at places like Arizona and Michigan State and Iowa. Dick Floyd and I interviewed at Michigan State at the same time. Quite a difference. But what had happened in that time with the influence of the wind ensemble movement was the changes in the teaching of conducting and the opportunity to go to lots of conducting clinics, which are all over the place now, and which really help the individual teacher who wants to try and better themselves in their craft and their art in becoming better teachers. And that is one of the big changes that I saw during my career. Because when I came to LSU, they wanted to make the wind ensemble the top performing indoor group. And I was asked to make that change because my predecessor, well, Bill Swore, he had a symphony band. And it was, you know, it took a little doing because the kids were a little resistant. But we won them over within about a year. And I never carried a skeletal wind ensemble at LSU. I always carried around 57 so I could have enough clarinets to balance the 6 trumpets. I usually carried 10 clarinets and 6 trumpets.
Right.
So I felt that the wind ensemble influence and the ultimate repertoire changes that went when you started adding in chamber repertoire, which was really good music, a lot of good music there. I felt that was really a positive change for lots of different reasons. Your top players could play, they could have chamber ensembles, they could be conducted or not conducted, and you could alter your programming and make it a little bit more interesting with large and small groups. And all of them do that now. You know, I mean, that's very common.
Well, what do you think about the trend of the new music and how it's used and how it's mixed with the old standards? What are your thoughts on those, along those lines?
Well, I grew up in the time of transcriptions. And I was taught that by my teachers, including Ravelli, who, you know, did those all the time. And I like to play transcriptions, and I like to play them right up through the end of my career, actually, if they were really worthy transcriptions and good ones. However, that's not normally the case with a lot of the wind ensemble conductors today. They like to do almost exclusionary to transcriptions. They like to do the newest, latest things out there. And because I grew up in the age that I did in music education, I felt like I had a real good background of the staple repertoire of the band, which included the pieces that were coming out in the second half of the 20th century, let alone those things which were earlier, and as well as quality transcriptions. So I felt they were important, and I continued to do those. And I must say, Keith, that I, toward the end of my career, I was not as enamored of some of the contemporary pieces that were coming out. I didn't think that all of them, I sort of understood them, But I didn't think that everything that came out that was new was really good. Difficult to listen to some of that music, and also difficult to study it.
And hold an audience, a returning audience.
Exactly right. So I tried to balance it.
Do you see is there a caution there for young university directors for balance?
Well, I think the young ones, they have to learn the repertoire, and they have to learn the classic repertoire, the really great pieces, you know? I mean, coming along as I did with, Granger and Persichetti and the Hindemith pieces, and later on, Maslanka and on into people like Donald Grantham and so forth. I always liked melody, Keith. To this day, I like arching, sweeping melodies, and I have some trouble with the spiky stuff some trouble appreciating the music that doesn't have melodic shape to it, but is real angular.
Yes.
Or too atonal that you can't really enjoy it too much. So I'm kind of old-fashioned that way a little bit.
I think there are many in your boat now.
At this age, I think that's right.
Well,
I'll be 79 in August, and the way we grew up, we had a lot of wonderful music, people that sang with their art. That's not as common today.
In your 51 years, what about personal highlights? Or if you have the continuing thought there, go ahead and finish. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Personal highlights, I've had a couple of them. I continued to work with the marching band my entire career. I was director of bands at LSU, and in my last year at LSU, I was still director of the Tiger Marching Band. That has now changed. Of course, there's been a lot of people at LSU in the last couple of years, and even this year, but let that be bygones right now. But with the marching band, I had the opportunity to go to some phenomenal bowl games. And we also had the chance to win two national championships in January of 2004 and 2008 in football here at LSU. So those were very, very exciting times. And we keep hoping for another one. we don't seem to be able to get by Alabama.
Those are interesting highlights in your career. I understand that very much.
Well, in concert work, I had a great event when we took my second high school band to the Vienna International Band Festival, and we won it. So that was really great. So was the trip to Midwest. We also played in the Kennedy Center at the Armed Forces School of Music down in Norfolk with my second high school band. My first high school band did perform at a MENC convention in Philadelphia in 64, and we had Clyde Roller as a guest clinician. But it was done on a Monday morning when they had the convention wrap around the weekend, and it was opposite an open rehearsal of the Philadelphia Orchestra. So it wasn't so well attended.
Those are great highlights, great spike in your career.
Well, then also, I was fortunate enough to be able to perform at several ABA convention performances through the years. One at the University of Florida in 1977, after I got in ABA in Florida. And then one in Tallahassee in 89, hosted one in New Orleans in 93, and then the CBDNA National Convention at Austin, Texas in 99. That was a great event. And then the 2006
ABA convention in Richardson, Texas. So those are highlights just because they're peak experiences, as you know, and they're very special when you get bands prepared for things like that. Your students get psyched up. They want to do well, and you're hoping that they come to play, you know?
Right. So you're dependent on that.
Those are, and we performed at several. I performed at another national convention of CVDNA in my early years at LSU. And that was 1983. And then over those ensuing years, several regional conventions, Southeastern Division conventions, Southern Division conventions of CVDNA through the years that we performed at as well. So those were always pretty important. And
along your musical path, if you could go back, was there anything you might change or do differently?
I always seem to have a reflection of Ravelli in my teaching that I'm not totally proud of, because he had an immense influence on me. I saw him at his best, and I saw him at his worst, with the way he dealt with people. And I'm talking about in rehearsals. And, you know, I carried that with me for too long. Even Bob Reynolds calls me Ravelli Jr. sometimes. Better not print that. But at any rate, my manner probably kept me from getting the job at Michigan State when Stan DeRuscia got it, because they said I had too many Ravelli mannerisms on the podium. I think the faculty thought that. And, of course, at Michigan State, they don't want to see that. So if I had anything to do differently, I've mellowed over the years when I got better players at LSU, and all the way through the years at LSU, I continued to keep mellowing as I got older and more secure and confident and all those things, you know. I became an alumni professor in 2000 here at LSU. That's a campus-wide award. It was very special to me. I'd be recommended for that. And I was very thrilled to have that. So that was a highlight. But changing my approach to a softer, kinder, gentler podium manner, which many of the really fine conductors today have in abundance, because that changed over. You know, Ravelli revered Toscanini. And in those years, they could do things differently on the podium with the orchestras than they can now. And it was carried over into the band world, too. So that's probably the one big thing I would do differently.
That's good. I always heard students wouldn't learn from someone they didn't like.
Yeah.
So, right. What about favorite compositions?
Well,
you've mentioned some of the old War Horses.
Yeah, I always thought from the 20th century that we had some great ones, starting with the E-flat suite of Holst and Hammersmith and moving on up through Lincolnshire Poesy and the Hindemith Symphonietta of Ingolf Dahl, some of the Persichetti pieces I thought were great. And moving on into the Maslanka Fourth Symphony, and moving on past that through the composers of today, like I think Frank Tichelli has a lot of talent, and I think Grantham. I always marveled at Grantham because I think as Nadia Boulanger said to him, you have something to say.
Very good, yes.
Absolutely.
His last piece, Starry Crown, or I think it may be one of his last ones that he's written, Interesting, yeah. Interesting piece.
Yeah, well.
So what about the old masters? Now, you've mentioned, of course, Ravelli, and you've thrown some other names in there. Are there any other old masters? Of course, you are an old master now. Believe that?
Well, I always admired the whole persona of John Painter. I admired Fennell. I had him as a guest with our band, and I thought he was really pretty special. Ravelli and Fennell didn't really get along till the very end, but of Ravelli's life. But I thought Fennell made a great contribution with the Eastman Wind Ensemble and their recordings, and I thought he was special. I thought Mark Hinesley was a special talent, a very hard-working talent, with all the great transcriptions that he did.
Great transcriptions.
He had some fabulous ones. There are others that I thought were great. Had the opportunity to work with some composers like Morton Gould. I thought his symphony, the West Point Symphony, was a great piece. I still think it's a great piece. And he played it several times. Della Gioia gave us some pieces. He was talented. He really didn't know how to write for the band too much, but he sure could sing with his music, and he, you know, very wonderful melodies at times. I've just named just a couple pieces there, but those are some of the ones that stick out of my mind as pretty special.
And you had many mentors along the way.
Well, yeah, I watched them from afar mostly. I always had a very high regard for Ken Blomquist for many reasons, and some of the guys that came a little before me that I thought. Don McGinnis was another one. I thought he was a very special musician and a very special person. And they helped me in my early years try to form a methodology that would continue to work.
Well, my son was in your all-state band in Texas when you... I forgot the year, but he really enjoyed it and had a great experience. And, of course, he did a wonderful concert. So those are some neat memories along the way that many, many people have of Frank Wicks. So in closing out, what advice or little tidbits of wisdom you might give to the young directors entering the profession or just beginning their career path, either music students or young directors, words of wisdom?
Start a score library as early as you can afford it. And start collecting the pieces that you feel are important for you to learn in the future, whether your band can play them or not. Start getting familiar with the great pieces of the repertoire, even if you don't have a band that can play them. With the CDs that are out there today, there's no reason why you can't study those pieces, even though you may not be able to play them in your first couple of years of teaching.
Yeah,
I think that's very important. Continue to learn. As Harry Beaton used to say, we learn by observing, we learn by listening, and we learn by reading. And pick up as much as you can. Accept those things that you agree with and believe are helpful, and you can discard the things that you don't feel will be helpful to you. You know, that's sort of what Harry said. That was another fellow that I really admired. He came to work my band on several occasions, and boy, I thought he was a very special musician.
Harry Beaton.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you would too.
Well,
Arnold Gabriel was very helpful to me, because when I taught in Virginia, it was Arnold Gabriel who promoted me for ABA, And I didn't know that was going on at the time, but he invited me over to conduct the Air Force band. He had conducted my high school band in a concert, and he conducted it at Midwest when he made the first performance of a Aegean festival without his own band, you know.
Wow.
And he got that published, because in those years you had to have the pieces published before you could play them at Midwest. So he actually got that piece published, and he was very good to me, and he continues to be good to me, I mean, all the way right to this year, you know. So he helped me get moving ahead. Ian Ravelli probably were the main promoters of my candidacy for ABA.
That's pretty good backing.
Yeah, I would say.
Well, I really appreciate your time today, and Phi Beta Mu International will really appreciate having your thoughts on their website, and this will live for the young directors and the current directors as well. I mean, there are lots of things to be learned from the old masters.
Well, you guys you're doing a great service there, Keith. I know that's going to take a lot of your time. It's wonderful that you've taken on a project like that, because there's some really great people in our profession, and you're trying to hone in on some of this, some of these guys and their methodologies. And I very much appreciate you even thinking of me and asking me.
Well, we were honored to have you as our outstanding bandmaster in 98. And so I think I only have 6 left to put up on the website, and then a few obituaries to put up, unfortunately. But we keep moving ahead, and this year we'll have our first international director, Colonel Takeda from Japan.
You say obituaries. What guy that really I really admired in my earlier years of teaching was Fred Ebbs.
Yes, at Iowa.
And at Indiana. And he was both places. And I had opportunities to be with him, because we both shared judging spots at the Daytona Beach Music Festival in the 70s. And this was not too long. It was not too long after that, in the early 80s, that he died. But when I was with him, I could always tap into him for ideas, and he was so generous in giving me things he thought could help as a young teacher. So those are kind of the people that I felt strongly about.
Well, that's what it should be all about, is helping those others in our profession.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great day, and I hope you don't have any more storms over there tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Keith, for this opportunity.
Yes.
I really appreciate talking to you.
Okay, well, I'll see you soon somewhere Midwest.
Yes, sir. Sure will.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.